pour commencer la matinée, on a confié l'ouverture de cette matinée à Marie Lesourd, qui est secrétaire générale d'On the Move, et qui va nous parler de mobilité, de distance, de circulation à sa manière. Donc je te laisse le micro, Marie, et merci.
Bonjour. Good morning. In fact, I will speak in English. Obviously, I'm French, but I mean, you can guess with my accent. But when I talk about artist mobility, I am usually used to do it in English, so it's easier in a way. And since it's a European conference, I think it's also good for European guests not always to have the headset. And for the French one, anyway, with my accent, you can understand everything. So it's very easy. My presentation will be, as Agathe mentioned, more in relation to this question of artist mobility, circulation, the notion of distance, of frontier, be they real or imaginary, or even sometimes virtual. And my approach will be more like global. I will not focus only on the circus sector, because On the Move, the network I work for, cover all type of discipline, and I think that sometimes it's also good to go out of, or to think out of the box, out of the sector. And it will be also much more international and not only a European type of focus. I will refer to many networks and resources and information. You know, if you are interested, at the end of the PowerPoint, there will be my email address in case you need like more information about this organization. And I will, of course, like give also the links to our colleague at Circus Next and Jeunes Talents Cirque Europe. And compared with the proposal I sent 1 month ago to Agathe and to Cécile and to the colleague of Circus Next, I changed a little bit the content, or at least the resources I am using, because I participated or co-organized 3 events recently in relation to artist mobility. And I think that some of the ideas that were shared during this event can be really food for thought, I mean, I hope, for the next discussion and exchange, because it's also like ideas which were exchanged by artists and cultural professionals, which are really living, experiencing, and reflecting on artist mobility issues. So I thought it could be interesting. So the first event I participated in was a seminar, which was called Ici ou Là, Here, Where, There. And the mobility of artists and cultural professionals was very much approached from the perspective of this network, which is called Réseau d'Art Contemporain 50 Degrés Nord, so which is a network of contemporary art linking France and Belgium. And the meeting was in Charleroi, in Brussels, at the end of April. And so the mobility of artists and cultural professionals was really much discussed, of course, not only as a one-way type of direction, not only going from somewhere to do a project, but of course as a two-way type of exchange. I mean, the kind of knowledge on an artistic level, professional level that you can gain can of course very much benefit also after, when you are back to your country, when you are back to your local organization, the people you are working with, the artists you are working with as well. It was also very much mentioned that there are various formats of mobility, be it for a residency, be it for a touring, a co-production, a training, or a participation in a meeting, and that this mobility can definitely be based on an individual basis or more in a group, because sometimes you are, you know, like mobile alone and through a residency, and sometimes, and I guess it's more the case for the circus sector, you are more like part of a group or a company. And of course, this kind of mobility can have various type of impact, you know, on a shorter or longer term. And there was a kind of metaphor which was used on this question of the mobility, like to go from the point A to the point B. And that we are also like, of course, you can multiply that kind of point B. I mean, you can go to a place for a particular project and after go to another venue for another type of project. So there is also a multiplicity of the type of experience you can have, you know, like through a mobility process. And what was interesting as well is that your point A, so basically your point of origin, can be multiple as well, meaning that increasingly, and I guess maybe some people in the room are also facing this situation, increasingly artists and cultural professionals are living in between different cities or in between different venues. It's very common now to see this or that artist living, you know, like between Paris and Berlin, between Paris and Beirut, for instance. And so, and of course, this kind of situation has also some kind of, you know, like negative administrative aspect from time to time. Oh, sometimes too often. One of the artists who was there, and I mean, it's just a mobility between France to Belgium, so we are in neighboring country, speaking the same language, or at least one of the languages is the same, and she says something which I think it's unfortunately very true. She says, like, it's easy to be or to become illegal, because sometimes you are in between country and you don't know, you know, the kind of administrative system you are falling into. And of course, here we are talking only at the level of the Schengen space, for instance, or at the level of the European Union. But this kind of sentence, it's also like very true for artists coming from other parts of the world, coming, for instance, like to develop a project, you know, like in Europe. And as you may guess, the international political context doesn't make it easier, particularly for, I mean, citizens in general, but for artists and cultural professionals to develop project, I mean, coming from outside of the Schengen space, for instance, and developing a project in Europe. Another event I participated in was the IETM meeting in Bucharest. Do you know IETM? Yes, everybody knows. So the International Network for Contemporary Art, for Contemporary Performing Arts. The latest meeting was held in Bucharest, and there was a session on mobility. And for me, I mean, it's not because I have been working with On the Move for 5 years and that the session was on mobility, but it was really one of the most interesting sessions I attended for quite some time on mobility-related issues. And I think as well it's because in the session, which was moderated by Johan Flock, that is there, that is, Johan is the founder and the coordinator of a network that some of you may know as well. It's called FACE, Fresh Art Coalition Europe, which is more focusing on hybrid type of performance. So what was refreshing in this session is that the participants were not coming, I mean, except one from Romania, but otherwise they were not coming from the EU. I mean, one was from Indonesia, one from Nigeria, one from Kazakhstan, and one from Moldova. So their view also on this question of mobility was, I think, very refreshing for us. And because they were not focusing so much on the challenges that you can face when you are mobile as an artist, as a company, but more of on the key issue that somehow are implied with this mobility project process. Basically, the discussion started with some key point on the reason why, on the drivers, on why artists and cultural professionals want to be mobile. So basically, it can be, of course, to create together, to co-create. It can be to export or to tour your work. And in that case, it can be seen also like more like for a financial reason, because, you know, internally in your country, you don't find the resources like to sell your work or to develop your work. So you definitely need this kind of international opening to do it. It can be also like for other type of reason which can be related to some form of prestige or recognition or legitimacy. I mean, for some people, they express that the fact to be recognized internationally helped them, you know, back in their country to be better recognized and better supported, particularly when you speak of a sector which is not so much recognized. And there was also like other reasons which were given, and sometimes they are there. I mean, like some people also are interested also like to go abroad for more like exotic type of reason or for holiday reason. But what was interesting as well is that mobility was also seen as this kind of distance that you can take, not only this question of distance, like the number of kilometers, but also the distance to refresh, to recharge your battery, to find new energy, new artistic drive also for your work, and new ways, I mean, new inspiration, which can be, I mean, of course, artistic, but which can be professional as well. Maybe you will discover in another country another way to run a company, and maybe some of the recipe that you learn in this particular company can be also useful for your own organization. There are four issues that were shared during this session. There was the issue of identity. How to relate this question of identity and artist mobility. This one of the key points which was addressed during this meeting. And I think, again, it's because of the, I mean, because and thanks to the diversity of countries which were represented. I mean, for instance, you had a country like Indonesia, how to, you know, like the feeling or which was expressed by one of the production manager, you know, like when you receive like support from the government, you know, like who do you represent? You know, like Indonesia is such a rich and diverse, you know, country in terms of culture, in terms of language. There were also like younger nations like Kazakhstan, so where the government somehow is trying more to emphasize a specific type of culture and identity when they support a specific form of art as well. And after, there were also discussion on this question of identity and cultural representation abroad with more, let's say, conservative or right-wing government, you know, like, but also like this rise in Europe. I mean, there was the case of Romania or Hungary. So how do we stand, you know, at the level of artist mobility in relation to this issue? And in this context of identity, there were also like some questions raised by, for instance, like one UK-based artist, and he say like, you know, he's from UK, but from South Asian origin, and you know, he was like, am I legitimate to represent South Asian dance, you know, like in a foreign country, knowing that I am from UK. So all these questions were raised as well. On another level of identity, and maybe some of you felt it in your own practices, there was the example of Matteo Lafranchi from Italy, and he took part in a residency program in Sri Lanka through the In-Situ Network. Do you know the In-Situ Network? Yes, here, but okay. In-Situ Network is a network on creation in public space. And usually the projects are held within Europe, but this particular residency is held outside of Europe. And it's in Sri Lanka. So Matteo said that, you know, it's one of the first time that he felt really like more like what the meaning of what was an European identity, with this fact of being in a totally different context, in a different culture. And somehow he expressed also the feeling that he felt a bit bad in this kind of context, meaning that he had the feeling that he gained so much from the experience compared to what he could bring to the local people and local artists he worked with. Another issue which was raised, and this I see it more and more discussed in meetings like this one, when we talk about artist mobility and the funding behind it, is this question of prejudice. As you may know, you know, if you are referring to a particular EU-funded project or a national project, you have some focus country. Or, you know, here, for instance, you can invite people from certain country in the world because it's related to a certain EU funding. And more, there are voices which are raised, and I think it's very good, like this one from Nora, who took part in the session in Bucharest, and she's from a theater from Moldova. And a few years ago, she was invited for a meeting in Paris, and after a while, she realized, like, you know, am I invited only because, I mean, for my work and for what I do, you know, like for my theater, or am I invited just because there is a pot of money related to the Eastern Partnership country? And this particular sentence or this particular opinion, I hear it a lot. And in fact, last time I heard it, it was during the Fresh Circus event organized last year by Circo Strada here, and it was with the manager of the Colo Colo Collective in Morocco, and his name is Yassine Eli Tirassi, and he said as well the same. He said, you know, with all this focus, I mean, funding is never enough, but it's true that for couple of years you have more funding in relation with the Maghreb or the South Mediterranean country. So he says, sometimes I have the feeling that I am more invited because I am from this particular region and less because of the artistic practice that I want to defend. And I think this is definitely something to keep in mind also in this kind of world in which we are living in, and this kind of focus part of the world which are covered or not by our respective government or by the European Union or by other type of funders in relation, for instance, with cultural diplomacy. I am just showing you here a map of the world. Yeah, as you can see. this is the, I mean, just to show you as well these discrepancies of in a way, indirectly, of funding in the world. This map is the map where you have the location of the European National Cultural Institute in the world, like British Council, Institut Français, Alliance Française, Goethe Institute. So this map has some drawback. I mean, we can discuss that later. But at least I think it's a good, I mean, of course, the whiter the map is, the less national institute you have. So that means, in a way, less funding you have, because as you may know, in a country like Latin America, subcontinent like Latin America or continent like Africa, the role of such institute is very important. So I think this question of prejudice is also important to keep in mind. Another point which was raised and which is directly linked to this question of prejudice is the question of expectation. How also artist mobility, as I mentioned, is driven also for by economic reason, because you don't find in your home country some kind of support to develop your work, to sell your work, and how it was very much mentioned in the discussion in Bucharest, how some artists and companies sometimes also like switch a bit their artistic proposal in order to fit better, for instance, a European audience or the taste of a European programmer. And how, in the contrary as well, you know, like programmer or curator of events sometimes don't have the time to, you know, like really delve into another context, into another country to really identify other type of voices, other type of artists, and sometimes they rely only on recommendations which are made to them. So this question of expectation and the challenges, both at the level of artist, programmer, and producer, is also like one of the key points which was raised. And last but not least, the question of perception was very much considered at stake in the conversation. And the question of isolation as well, in that sense, was raised. I mean, it's not by chance that the IETM meeting in Bucharest attracted a lot of UK artists and cultural professional. Because of the Brexit, there is really this willingness to remain connected and to engage even more, you know, like into collaboration. So it's also how artist mobility and the fact to be of being mobile can also help to tackle this question of isolation. So I guess what I wanted to show also through extracting some of the key idea of this session is that very often we see, I mean, and I think it should be the case as well, that mobility is a way to tackle positively, you know, like the kind of challenges that some artists can feel, can have in their home country or some companies in different sectors. But if it is also not treated in a careful way, I mean, mobility can only, you know, accentuate the kind of inequalities that this artist and cultural professional can feel. And here I was more given giving a more like international perspective about it. But I think within the European Union, I mean, many artists and cultural professionals are also facing that kind of situation. So the idea is also to see that in that sense is that often we consider that I often read that, you know, mobility is part of the DNA of artists and cultural professionals, that, you know, the fact of being mobile, it's, you know, for centuries. But after, of course, the DNA that you have is very much related to your context and the country you are in. So I really think it's important also to have this and to keep that in mind. And also that festival or producer should keep that in mind in order for cultural mobility to be more treated in a more fairer way and to have like fairer ways to engage into collaboration and cooperation. And it was one of the points which was, so this is the last event I wanted to mention to you. This was this question of fairer international collaboration through artist mobility process was also one of the points discussed during the Producer Academy, which was one event organized in particular by On The Move, but with other partners also like CIFAS. Maybe some of you know CIFAS in Brussels, the International Center for Training for the Performing Arts Sector. And this question was very much dealt with the 22 producers working in the performing arts sector coming from Europe and also other countries like Indonesia, Mexico, Belarus, and South Africa. So here again, we had this international, you know, like discussion related to artist mobility. And I really like this quote. I mean, we had the director of the Kunsten Festival right now at the Kunsten Festival in Brussels. And so his family name is very difficult to pronounce, but Christoph Kleinmulder. I really like, he came, I mean, we had a networking session between our participants and an organization based in Brussels and, of course, the Kunsten Festival since we were partner. And I really like what he say about this question of international starts at your doorstep. And this question on how also we can, through our work and through artist mobility or cultural professional mobility, try to tackle local challenges that we are facing in order like to link them to some form of global type of solution or interpretation. And this question of artist mobility was also very much mentioned at the level of various countries in the world and various continents in the world. One of the key points was also that too often still for artists or cultural professionals, for instance, living and working in Africa, on African continent, whatever country in Africa, somehow it's easier to meet in Paris, in Amsterdam, or in New York than to meet within the continent for funding reason, also sometimes for visa reason. So it's some of the questions also which were raised in this discussion. So I guess I have about like 6-7 minutes. I really wanted to share with you some of these key points. Maybe some of them echo your practices or your context or, you know, the context of people that you are working with. And here I will have to finalize this presentation, a more, practical way to look also at this question on artist mobilities through the information that we share on the MOVE website and on the MOVE network. And also some of the questions or trends that I will share are more, will echo somehow some of the key issues I raised in the first part of my presentation. So this is a kind of mobility opportunities that we share on the MOVE website. And here I would like more like to focus on some key trends. In terms of this trend, and I think it's very relevant for your sector, there are increasingly more opportunities. I mean, of course, it's never enough, but still, you know, it's good to see the positive side related to cross-disciplinary form of practices. It's very rare now when, particularly the one of calls that we share, that I put a call which is only related to, you know, like paintings or, you know, like dance. Or now it's much more this cross-disciplinarity which is emphasized. And increasingly as well, this cross-sectoriality, meaning that like these calls here, I just put it because it's online and it's still on and it's related also to the circus sector. Linking, in fact, artistic practices and other sector, like social engagement, political engagement. Here it's a call, for instance, for young circus artists in particular, but also musicians, to work on this question of racism. So very often you have this kind of double type of opportunities in relation to the sector and other sector. Linked to that, I think there is also an interesting tendency, which is good, an interesting trend, in terms of the eligibility criteria for artists and cultural professionals. And it will echo one of the comments I made before, is that more often I find that there are calls which are related to artists, cultural professionals based in a particular country or based in a particular city or region. So we have less this nationality criteria, which is quite interesting when we are talking about mobile artists, cultural professionals, or people living in different cities and countries. Another trend that we see is that, again, even if it is not never funding for the arts and cultural sector is never enough, and for mobility as well. But there are also like increasingly calls coming not only from a public type of organization, but also like from and at a national level, but increasingly as well at the city and region level. Also, if you see the example of the European Capital of Culture, I guess you know the system of the European Capital of Culture. Every year, there are two or three capitals in Europe. You have also like more and more calls for, you know, like for different type of projects, for co-production or for artist residency. And you have also more calls which originate from a private foundation. I took this example because the call is online and because we are in France, so it's Hermès Foundation. And they have this, for instance, like call also, which can be quite interesting to support like multidisciplinary type of work. Another trend that I can highlight for you, and I think again that it is interesting in your sector, is that there are more calls. I mean, here, if we talk more from a European EU focus context, there are more calls which are related to the international. For instance, here it's a photo from the Goethe Institute. A co-production fund. It's a new fund. I think it's more relevant for people living in eastern or central part of Europe, but it's quite new also to have this call. And I put also the Awaji Art Circus Festival. I mean, increasingly also internationally, like in this case in Japan, you have also festival, I mean, opportunities which a few years ago didn't exist. So it's also good to know that such opportunities do exist. And as far as Japan is concerned, I mean, we just talked about that with Stefan. As far as Japan is concerned, so far, most of the costs are covered, including the travel costs, so which is good when you have to fly to Japan. Another trend that I see, and I think it's also interesting in the... I think it's also interesting in the way we could also envisage the future of Circus Next, or, I mean, it's one of the questions also of this session. There are more and more projects and calls and opportunities related to capacity building program, social innovation program. And I think this is really, I mean, I'm not an expert on circus, but what I see, and also when On the Move updated the Circostrada guide last year on EU-funded project related to the circus and street art, I noticed, particularly for the Circus project related to the Erasmus Plus program, that there are many projects which are related to social engagement, to inclusivity of local communities in the project. So I think that kind of opportunities can be also very interesting for your project, or also to be embedded in, let's say, the future of the Circus Next. I have 2 minutes left. Key challenges and potential solutions. I talk a little bit about this question of the problem of the administrative aspect of artist mobility, not to be underestimated. And unfortunately, here is a list of, for instance, for the visa issue, like... of the country, I mean, you have this discrepancy, of course, of, I talk about DNA, so depending on where you are born and where your passport is from, of course, you may have more difficulties to access visa facilitation. But there are organizations also which can help you for all these questions in different parts of the world. Two last things. I talk about this question of discrepancies of funding for the sector depending on when you are on where you are located in the world. However, recently there have been more mobility grant and program to connect better Europe and also within European artists and cultural professionals. I guess you know the STEP travel grant from the European Cultural Foundation. What is very interesting is that these grants, usually before it was more connecting artists and cultural professionals from Europe to neighboring country. And now you can also apply within the European Union. So that means if you are from Greece, you can also apply for a grant to go to Sweden. And I think it's very interesting because discrepancies do not only exist at the level of the world, they exist also within the European Union. So I think it's also an interesting move from the European Cultural Foundation. And the other one is a new mobility fund between Asia and Europe with the Asia-Europe Foundation. So yes, there are discrepancies in terms of access to information, in terms of access to funding in European Union and internationally, but there are also like some organization which tries to tackle this question with a new mobility fund. Last but not least, what I try to do in this presentation, it's to pinpoint some, key challenges related to artist mobility, key issue, the one of identity, the one of expectation, the one of prejudice, for instance, maybe which can be also food for thought for the next discussion. The question also of access to funding, the question of access to information. What I would like to... end with is that as far as the circus sector is concerned and as far as the arts and cultural sector is concerned, I really think that we should connect more the narrative that we are building through our different projects. I mean, I read in the introduction of this session that, you know, the circus sector is funded, I mean, also through European project. And I really think that the circus sector is totally underfunded, you know, within Europe. If you look at the guide that we updated for Circostrada last year, as far as Creative Europe program is concerned, circus is really low. And it's because we added the public art in public space that, you know, it increased a bit. You have more as far as Erasmus Plus program is concerned, but hence, I think also the need to build, in order to build argumentation for the sector, you need also like to, I mean, we need also to build more argumentation based on the different projects that are articulated around circus and street art in particular. So that's why I put like this guide that we did for Circostrada and the, one of the latest CASA project, which is also interesting project related to Finland, Sweden, Czech Republic, and Spain. And there is this sentence in the introduction of this session that you know, like, where could a project like Circus Next break the lines and build the basis for the legitimacy of contemporary circus in Europe? And I think that there is really an added value to connect this experience to other experience at the European level, to bring, to, you know, like, cross resources and cross narratives, and, you know, like, bring more visibility for the circus sector. And also, I hope you got the point, to link that more internationally as well. So I think it's also one of the area where your sector could be also definitely, I mean, could definitely add more value. So thank you very much. I was a bit long, but thank you very much.
On va prendre quelques questions pour Marie. Merci beaucoup, Marie, pour ton intervention. Voilà. Donc, comme d'habitude, si vous pouvez juste vous présenter avant de poser la question, car il y a des personnes qui sont là aujourd'hui qui n'étaient pas là les autres jours.
Hi, my name is Seb Kahn. I'm a researcher and a circus artist, and I'm also one of the people benefiting from, let's say, good DNA for the art scene, having an American and European citizenship. So, and I see around me, for example, lots of let's say other Americans that would really like to be here and can't. So I'm really appreciative of the work that you're doing also for looking at the sort of disparities in opportunity. But I couldn't help thinking during the presentation, and this is not a, it's not like a critique at all because the work you're doing is great, but I was wondering, sorry, because there was two sociologists that gave us a presentation on the first day about reasons that circus artists tend to drop out of the field. And one of them was the sort of the pressure of the nomadic lifestyle and the difficulty in sort of maintaining a social community, and then also difficulty in maintaining long-term collaborations because of this sort of imperative to always be traveling. And I wonder within your project whether there's things being done to also deal with this issue, the sort of I mean, it's a classy burden to have, but the, also the burden of always being on the move.
Thank you. In fact, it was, because I could not highlight all the key points, because already I did a lot. It was one of the questions which was very much raised in the latest project I was part in, the Producer Academy. There were many questions, like, for two reasons. I mean, one of the questions is that, of course, people can get extremely tired with this constant mobility, and also because it's not the same to be mobile in a group and to be mobile alone. So it has both sides of their drawbacks and their advantages. But there were like two comments which were in your line, like saying like, why do we need to be so much mobile? I mean, somehow when so much can already be done, you know, on, at a local level. And it's not to be conservative to say that, because it could look, oh, you don't want to go internationally, you don't want to encounter new culture. So it was one of the points which was raised. And also this question of, you know, like this constant need to move, which somehow make people extremely tired, particularly again with this question of DNA and this question of access. You know, like, of course, it was much more tiring for our colleagues from South Africa or Belarus to come and to participate in a 3.5 days meeting. We don't, I mean, On the Move is a network. I mean, sometimes I say I, it's not because I want to emphasize on myself, but I am the only one to work at the level of the secretariat and the update of the website and finding information. So we don't, we cannot focus on the particular issue that you mentioned, but there are initiatives as well that I know, for instance, in Belgium, particularly the Flanders region, which are dealing with this question on the at the level of the precarity of artists, because and it's linked to that, because usually if you have, and I think your sector is particularly characterized by that, you have to be mobile, because otherwise you cannot co-produce, otherwise you cannot tour, you cannot earn money. It's a way to, you know, earn funding as well. So they are dealing with this question, you know, like indirectly, because, of course, this kind of constant move makes the situation of artists more precarious. And of course, after it's a question of, there are also more discussion now, I see it also at the artist residency level, about this, how to combine also like private and professional life, you know, like, and there are more, I mean, in terms of accessibility, there are more organizations dealing with that kind of issue as well. But hence also the need, complementary to that, to advocate better also for the sector, because, yeah, mobility can be one or part of the solution, but also, like, if at the level of the country there could be more support for your sector, it could be also a way to balance it. So it's yeah, it's a plea at two different levels, yeah. Very good question, thank you.
Thanks. Roman Müller from Switzerland, somehow artist. And sometimes I'm wondering a bit, with all these structures and system and institutions also, how much time do we spend as artists to fit into those systems? And at the end, how much really it helps somehow? And it takes you also a bit away from the core of your work. And for me, coming maybe from Switzerland, also with that background, I'm not so used to this point of view. It's more also the culture is organized in a different way. It's not from up to down, it's more from the bottom to up. So do your things and you'll find your way. But then it's also a point of view of being in Europe, so where you have the possibility to move without borders.
There are different question in your question, but very interesting as well. The first point that you raise, I think it's in relation also of what I say with this question of expectation. You know, like sometimes how some artists and cultural professionals try to fit with a certain taste of a European audience, or try to squeeze their project in order to comply with some funding guideline. I think this is something that definitely we, I mean everybody, has to be very much aware and know the limit of it as well. Because if you have to squeeze so much your project, at the end you totally denature the... You take away, you know, like the very nature of your project. So some artists and cultural professionals are very gifted for that, good for them. But after, it's a matter of choice as well. And at that level as well, it's always also difficult because You know, on the MOVE website, I didn't go so much into the detail, but we have two type of funding. We are not funder. We provide information on where to find the funding. So either it's what we call the one-off calls, maybe a call which will happen this year but not next year. And after we have regular, so-called regular funding scheme. If you take the example of Switzerland, it may be the level of the region or Pro Helvetia. You know, we try to list them. And usually, the hard work starts when usually you have a project and you don't find the immediate funding solution for it. And sometimes also you see a call, you think, oh, this project could fit very well, but I don't have time because there is also a problem of time frame. You know, like all the deadline we put, I try to find them in advance, but usually it's 1 month or 1.5 months. So it's always to find this balance between... but this is definitely a question that we as the sector, and I think also the funder, should have in mind as well. And also to maybe like public or private funders should also, I'm sure they do it, but be more aware of the needs of the sector. For instance, this need to work more cross-sectorially or more cross-disciplinary. I mean, I say there are more calls like that, but after, if you look sometime at the level of public funders, we are still in this kind of silo type of and categorization where your project do not fit. So, and after, I forgot the last part of your question. There was this question of the...
What was it?
How to fit? I mean, this question of squeezing, yeah, it's definitely a challenge.
Or something. No, sometimes...
the bottom-up approach, yeah. What do you mean by bottom-up approach in Switzerland? I mean, as far as funding is concerned.
Let's say already in the culture, how it's organized. So compared to France, where is some decisions in culture are from the ministry.
Yeah.
So in Switzerland, we don't have this. So it starts from local, and then it has to grow. It has also a weakness that a decision takes really a long time. Mm. But with the thing of being around, being away for 20 years, I feel also how much I'm connected still to that way of thinking, to do the things like you think you should do them without having too much informations or different system where you could go in. And I think sometimes we lose also a bit with all this information, access to information, or see all these systems.
You mean you miss them, or you it's too much?
For me, sometimes I have the feeling it can be also too much.
Yeah. I guess it really depends. I think in some contexts it's never too much because so that's why I always come back to the same issue, but I think it's important to have that in mind. Also, when you work with people from different contexts and different region or different country, I mean, to have that in mind. And I mean, at our small level, what we try to do is to... try to identify where people can go, because it's true, it's for instance, the raison d'être of On the Move, which was created 12 years ago, in fact, at the beginning by IETM, is really to say, yes, funding is really lacking in the sector, but access to opportunities and information is also key, because sometimes the opportunities are there, maybe not interesting for you, but interesting for her, and people are not aware about them. Or it's always the same kind of people who are aware about them. So this is also a way to encourage the diversity of opportunities. And after, it's a matter of choice. Maybe you will decide, for me, I would just only concentrate on this kind and that kind of partnership and not, you know, multiply myself into different funding applications, because they require time and money somehow, because the time you write applications, this is less time that you can concentrate on your artistic practices. That's why the last funding, like the STEP and the Mobility Fund from SF, I put them, because this one is more like instant, more like quick application. I mean, of course, it's a bit of work, but it's really not long compared with EU funding. Yeah. D'accord.
Merci beaucoup pour les questions. Merci Marie pour le temps que tu as pris pour répondre à ces questions. Merci à tout le monde. Et on va passer à la suite. Je te passe le micro.
Merci.